Heard about Anchor? It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Folks, we only have two more sleeps until the NFL draft. But for as crazy as the NFL draft is and everything else, the man to my right had a take this week. Josh Allen, bad for fantasy football. I just love how I had to start here because I've been seeing this and I've been seeing Bill's Twitter basically going on about like 4 years we got our savior. I'm like, 4 years ago, you were booing this man and you did not want him. You were clamoring for Josh Rosen. So it's the perfect office meme of how the turntables have turned.
Yeah. Buffalo Bill fans, man. So I wrote a piece for DeanBlondell.com. I cover fantasy football over there. And one of the things I covered was the Bills don't want Josh Allen running the football as much. Sean McDermott wants to kind of reduce that. He ran the ball 122 times last season for like 822 yards. Like that's a lot of running downs. And the ball was in his hand a lot. Buffalo has had an issue getting their running backs going. Devin Singletary's never really kind of worked out to what we thought he was going to be. And so I was like, listen, if McDermott has his way, he's not going to run the football as much. And I mean, I used a pretty good rationale. I know the article piece, I didn't mention this, but like when I was discussing it with Bills fans on Twitter after, I was like, listen, I'm predicting that his yards are going to get cut down to like 450. Yeah. You know what I mean? From 855. Like they're going to go pretty much in half because he's not going to be running the football as much. But like, I think that, I know that I got accused of being, I got a couple of DMs. One guy like just really mad at me. I got some quote tweets. And one of the common themes from this piece was, oh, clickbait, clickbait, clickbait. This is what they're saying about Josh last year. The NFL is going to figure them out. And I was like, yo, I'm like, read the article, not the headline. First of all, the headline says fantasy football 101. Expect Josh Allen to regress. He's been the best fantasy football or best fantasy quarterback for the last two seasons. I started the article by saying he's the most dynamic quarterback in the NFL. I've been on record throughout like the last 6 months saying that I believe Josh Allen is the best quarterback in football above Patrick Mahomes. You know, like I've made that argument. And the fact that the Bills Mafia came at me to the point that I had to make a video on Twitter and tell them to chill the F out and that like, it's all fantasy related. And if like, I mean, if you read the article, I started it by just like, you know, gobbling Josh Allen for them. And then I was like, hey, he's still the best, but he's not going to be the best fantasy quarterback. You know what I should have put in the article is there was like a good stretch of time that Philip Rivers and Tony Romo were the best quarterbacks in fantasy above Tom Brady, above Aaron Rodgers, above Drew Brees, above Peyton Manning. Fantasy football and football that happens on the field are not the same thing. And that's one of the things we talk about on our show all the time because we cover betting and fantasy football for Dean Blondell and a part of the Dean Blondell Network. And the one thing that we talk about on a constant basis is don't build your fantasy team the way you would build your regular team. Like, for instance, you know, for when you look at running backs, like a guy like DeAndre Swift, who plays for the Detroit Lions, like he's a guy for the averages 4.1 yards per carry. Plus he went out there and got like 800 yards in receiving it over like 1200 all purpose yards because of who he is. he's like a tier three RB2 running back in fantasy football, but if I'm building a team to try to win a championship, he's probably my running back one. You know, there's only a couple, the Christian McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry, maybe Eckler. Like there's only four or five running backs ahead of him. However, in fantasy, he's eighth just because of the team he plays for, because of the other things. So yeah, Bills Mafia's got to chill. And anybody who looks at fantasy the same way that they look at on the field is crazy. It's and you know what, I know I'm digressing here, but we deal with the same thing when it comes to handicapping.
Yeah.
I handicapped the Green Bay Packers the other day. That was paying, they're paying +1,000 on DraftKings, and I was like, so I wrote a piece on it. I'm like, to win the Super Bowl, and I wrote a piece on it. I'm like, that's not enough value for me. They have a, you know, they digressed as a team both defensively and offensively. They lost Devontae Adams, they lost some key pieces. +1,000. I don't think they're the third best. I don't think they should be the third betting favorite to win the Super Bowl when you've seen all the moves in the AFC. The only advantage they have is that the NFC is weak, yep, and they could have a chance. But I still put Tampa Bay ahead of them. I still put the Rams ahead of them. I've said with a little bit of luck, this could be a season that a team like Detroit makes the playoffs. This could be a season that a team like Minnesota wins the division over Green Bay. So, and I know you're a handicapper on TikTok and stuff. I see your stuff. I see you there. I don't always like it, but I always press the like, but I see you. And you're a gracious loser as well. I got to say, like, when you miss, like, you're like, hey, bad night last night. Like, you know,
I'm up to it.
Yeah. But I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm not willing to put any money. Like, if I'm betting my heart. So when we say, like, this is the thing, I don't want people to take my bets and be like, dude, I put all this money on this because you told me to. I'm like, I'm not telling you to do anything. Yeah. Your money is your money. However, one agreement that we made when we started like doing handicapping and covering betting, anything that I say I would bet on, I'm going to put money on. And so when I look at Green Bay at +1,000, I don't have enough money to bet on every team on DraftKings to win the Super Bowl. I'm going to put my money in other locations. I have bet on the Raiders winning the Super Bowl because they're paying like +1,600. They're a dark horse. That doesn't mean I think they're going to win the Super Bowl, but to me, that was me gambling. And I said, yeah, I would put money. I think they're +2,600. Sorry, they're not even +1,600. I think they're +26. I could be wrong. I can't remember off the hot top of my head. But I'm like, I'll put money on that. Well, Packers fans lost their mind, right? Because yeah, I said I wouldn't bet on them winning the Super Bowl. And I'm like, dude, just look at the odds. If I'm going to put – you're betting the Super Bowl in April.
You know what I mean? For your buck.
Yeah, in April, that's exactly what you do. You're looking for the best value. Hey, who's a dark horse that could come through? Because if the Raiders start the season 8-0, that +1,600 or whatever, I think they're +26. That +2,600, they're going to be +1,000 come November. But I'm still sitting there with my +2,600 bet. You're trying to look for futures and look for dark horses. So people got to realize that betting, especially futures betting and fantasy football, is not the same as on the field, you know, and that type of thing.
Exactly. Like whenever I do a video, like I've been asked by people like, oh, so do you actually put money on everything you do? Like for all of you know out there, yes, betting I do daily or at least 4 to 5 times a week, if not more. But even during the season two, I say this game's a 7.5-point favorite. I just give my opinion. Do I think it's going to cover? Do I think the other team's going to cover? And if someone can come at me being like, oh, you said the Pats were going to cover the spread. Why didn't they cover the spread? I'm like, I don't know. I don't control it. I'm just saying.
Because they didn't score enough points.
Exactly. Even though they were the under kings for like the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season last year, but that's another story. But you're 100% right when you say that. Everyone's got to realize fantasy football, something that we use on here, and gambling do not correlate to what you see on the field. Obviously, gambling does, or handicapping, but like odds I like, for example, were the Baltimore Ravens at +1,600 or +1,800 or +2,200 to win the Super Bowl.
Great like odds.
Yeah, and even too, I saw the Pats were +3,500 right now. So if you're going to bet on something, you bet on the odds that are going to pay you better. Like I was looking for Thursday, which, and I don't condone drafting, betting on the NFL draft because you're a degen, especially, excuse me, if you want to bet on the USFL, be my guest, but that's degenerate territory you're entering. I was looking at to see what Aiden Hutchinson to go second overall was, and it was -130 because I'm like, okay, if there's insane money where people think he's going first and everything, but BetMGM, which obviously, look, iGaming in Ontario now, completely legal. BetMGM had him at -130, and I'm like, I'm not going to put my money there because I got to bet, like, a lot of it to win just a little of it. If you want to go for the bets, go for something that's going to pay you a crazy amount of money, like, I don't know, Ikem Ekwonu to go first overall. Meanwhile, going back to your point about the Packers, you're going to look at the team that's +2,500, +2,600, not the team that's +1,000. So for everyone saying, oh, why did you bet the bit? Like, why did you bet the not bet the Packers in the Super Bowl? It's not that you don't think it. It's just that you want, if you're going to bet on something, you're looking for value.
No, absolutely. And you know what? Like, I believe my preseason pick for the Super Bowl this year is the Buffalo Bills, right? That's what I'm telling them. And I was explaining this the other night on my podcast because I wrote an article saying I'm not going to bet on them at +650. They're the favorites. I'm not doing it. Those, you know what I mean? We're talking 5-1 odds to win the Super Bowl in April. Like, those are awful odds. 6-1 odds. And I said, I want to bet on them. I said, my hopes is that Buffalo goes like 1-3 to start the season and then comes alive, because they're suddenly going to be like +1200, +1300. Cause some other team, you know, is going to start 3-1 and they're going to say, oh, Josh Allen doesn't have it, and this team does. And the books are going to go crazy. And once the season starts, like right now, the books are really controlled by the handicapper. Yeah. Once the season starts, let's face it, the books are controlled by the bettors. Wherever the money is going, that's what's going to change the bets. You're going to see a lot of money dumped in other directions, and that's only going to increase Buffalo. So it's not value to bet on Buffalo in April. I'm looking to bet on them. I want them, like, I'm taking a gamble that they're going to start not looking like the best team in the league like they did last year and kind of, you know, build their momentum.
Yeah.
And then take them when they're like +1200, because now I'm getting the value that I'm looking for. At +650. You know, so what I did is I've thought about for this season, and let's not forget all these future bets we're making. We've been talking about this for the last 2 weeks. All these future bets we're making are going to completely change after this weekend. Cause as soon as this draft comes along, it's going to reset the whole market. We primarily use DraftKings and Fantasy Pros. Not that we necessarily like those, but, what we tell people is that we're trying to keep our content consistent. If you really want to gamble, that's what we tell people. Like, if you're new to gambling and you really want to sports gamble, first of all, if you're new to gambling, I don't suggest you betting on future picks. Just bet on games, right? Learn how to gamble by betting on games. Do single games, then get into parlays and that kind of thing. And then once you get a hang of it and you understand value, then you can start putting on what you got, because you're talking a lot of juice sometimes, like -115 to win the East for the Bills. Like, that's a lot of juice to win $100 in April, right? Yeah. If Josh Allen blows his ACL the first week of the season, they're not the favorites to win the East anymore. And I've lost $115 trying to win $100, right? So what I get at is we try to stay consistent, but if you are looking for value and you are looking for those things, check out the different sites. There's different gambling sites all the time. Like, I'll take a shot at OLG. I never bet on ProLine because their odds are ridiculously stupid, like, especially for football. I don't bet on hockey. I don't know if it's comparison, but for football, you go to do a point spread, to go do a parlay, you're looking at Vegas and they got, say, the Patriots at -2, you know, -2.5. You go to ProLine, they got them at -4.5. And you're like, how do you get off doing this? How do you get off giving them two more points than Vegas is giving them? But, you know, I've been playing around with the Score app a little bit. I don't know if you've tried it yet, the Score gambling. I figure I'm doing a gambling show. I better try it out. I would say odds are comparable. You know what I mean? You can tell there's still a lot of bugs in the system, so I'm not prepared to use that to bet yet. But, man, do your research. Go around. Look at MGM. Look at Caesars. Look at DraftKings. Look at all the different betting sites. Look at all the different odds. I would suggest using a reputable website. You know, we just got approached by this, like, off-brand company, which I found out was attached to this other Chinese company, which was like a shell of another company, and they wanted to sponsor us. And, you know, we talked about it as a team with the network, and we're all like, yeah, nah, you know what I mean, let's wait and let's try to, because then I got to go off their site, and it's like, I was looking at the odds and I was looking at everything. I'm like, they're out to lunch. I'm like, this is not what I want to represent, because I'm going to just start trashing this thing. And I've heard Griff, that trashing your sponsors on air is a bad thing.
Really? You don't think that's going to be something good? Before I go somewhere else, that brings me to, I got to go off topic here, but I remember there was a Simpsons episode, like, way, way, way back when the show was at its peak. And Dredrick Tatum, the famous boxer, basically is holding up these ugly shoes. And he's just like, I have been paid millions to endorse these butt ugly sneakers. And then, like, everyone walks away in disgust. He's like, wait, what did I say? What did I say?
Can I give one more piece of gambling advice before we change over?
Yes.
Never bet against your favorite team. Keep them right off the books. I don't even say bet for your favorite team. It always reminds me of that. Let's go back to the Simpsons. It's a Thanksgiving episode, peak 90s. And Maggie comes up and Homer picks him and goes, "Hi, Maggie. That's the Dallas Cowboys, Daddy's favorite team. And we need them to lose by 4.5 points. You know what I mean? It's never, never bet. I don't care how serious of a gambler you are. Never bet against your favorite team because it's just not enjoyable to cheer for. You know, you're a Leaf fan. I see you with your Leaf jersey. Are you going to be cheering against the Leaf games, against the Leafs game 6 of the Stanley Cup playoffs because you got a bet on, you know, Tampa? No, right?
No. My go-to with them has been the overall year. That's been my bread and butter. But, no, I remember that episode. I remember Lisa the Greek as well, I think season 3 or 4, where he was using Lisa to bet on football games and all that stuff.
Yes.
He won a lot of money. But before we go, actually, with companies and betting and everything, I've got to bring me to a partner of my show, which is Betstamp. And what Betstamp is an app where you can download iOS, Google, App Store, and you can shop for odds. So basically you go on there and you look up tonight's Jays versus Red Sox game, and it will give you what books give you the best odds to win the most amount of money, whether it be the run line, the money line, the over-under. So say if FanDuel's got better odds than Caesars, it's going to try to get you to go and draft and bet your money on a FanDuel. And then you can also link your betting accounts to Betstamp. And then from there, you basically, so if you place a bet on FanDuel, it'll automatically transfer over to the app. Download today, guys. Link in bio, promo code GriffB. You know what to do.
That's a sick app. I'm not even going to push it. I never heard of it before, and I'm looking at it now. I'm like, that's a sick app.
It really is. Like, I just use it. And then, so basically, you can also follow famous handicappers and stuff like that as well, or celebrities. Like, I think Mike Florio's on there, a couple of the guys from Barstool, Kelly in Vegas. There's Liv Moods as well.
Oh, wow.
They're all
Betstamp,
on
there. Betstamp, DearPatsNation.com. Check us out.
Yes. Promo code GriffB. But, yeah, so basically it just lets you shop for the best odds and everything. And I've linked up with them, and I'm an ambassador for them. So you use the promo code, and it does a little something for me.
GriffB, I'll be using
it. Now, the real reason why you're here, I don't want to do this because I'm going to show two graphics. Because for all you folks who want to know why I get to do this, Ray got me on it a few months ago. So there's the 2022 Patriots, but then there's draft week feelings. The two of them kind of go one and one together because you know how you say we're talking about gambling odds, how you betting now is just not reasonable because you want to wait for the draft to be done because things can change. Who knows? There could be someone wearing number 19 for the Patriots by Saturday, for all we know. But you can't, there's two rules I have. One, don't place futures like right now because it's not really worth it. But the other one is too, you can't predict how the team is going to do. You can say, hey, I have a feeling of how they're going to do, but you can't be going, I think the Patriots are going to be a 10-7 team again this year. You have to wait because I've seen people already doing like way too early record predictions. I'm just like, so much can change in the matter of 5 months, but so much is going to change in the matter of 4 days that we don't know what's going to go on. So
yeah,
when it comes to the Patriots, it's just one of those things where how do you feel about them right now?
Yeah, you got to do it in a sense or how you do it. So I like to do the way too early predictions. I just did one last week. Yeah, last week. I like doing the way too early predictions and the way later predictions because I love to, and we talk about this on our podcast all the time, it's so great to try to like do these prediction records. And we've done it for a lot of teams, not just the Patriots. We go through their schedule and we've been keeping a record of what we've been saying because we want to go back now like in December and be like, how bad were we? Like how off were we in April? And we're like put the date down, like March 27th, we took the Jets to win 4 games. And, you know, so right now, dude, I went through the list and I think that the Patriots are playing a couple of teams that are way overvalued by the rest of the NFL. One being the Indianapolis Colts. I'm sick of hearing about the Colts. One of my good buddies online, Lawrence Owen over at Colts Law. You can check him out. Big Colts guy. I can't even listen to him speak about the Colts anymore. He was on my Patreon on Friday night, my hangout on Friday night, and told me that this was the best team that Matt Ryan ever played on. And today a graphic came out that had Indianapolis as like the second worst receiving core in the NFL. You know, with Michael Pittman leading the way. And I'm like, how can you compare that to prime Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu and Austin Hooper? Like, and the Patriots play
them. Ronnie White too.
Yeah. I had to pick. I have at this moment, and I said, I granted, there's a games that could flip both ways. I have the Patriots going 11-5, which surprised me because I've been talking about, 11-6, which surprised me because I've been talking out loud about the Patriots winning like maybe 9 games, maybe 10 games. I said I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots took a step back this year, because I think they overachieved a little. I think last season the Patriots overachieved a little bit, and the rest of the AFC sort of underachieved. Kansas City, Buffalo, even though, you know, they both kind of ended up where they were. We expected more out of them, out of both those teams. We expected way more out of Baltimore. Obviously, injuries got the best of them. I think we expected more out of Cleveland, who were just a friggin' disaster. I expected more out of Denver last year, who obviously the quarterback issue. I thought Teddy Bridgewater was going to be enough with that defense and those receivers to at least make them competitive. So I think there was a lot of teams in the and really we didn't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I was one of those guys who thought at some point Deshaun Watson was going to return to football. Like, I really did. And I thought that they're going to become a pain in the ass. However, I will throw out there that I think Davis Mills is going to be a good quarterback. So I don't think he's going to be like a great quarterback, but I think he's going to be a good quarterback. He's going to be in the NFL for a long
time. Average.
We compared him to Matt Schwab the other night. We think that he's going to be like a different version of Matt Schwab when he was, you know, he got to the Houston to the playoffs a couple of times and, you know, decent quarterback. Yeah. So I had the Patriots going 11-5. I was surprised by my record when I went to it. It could have been an optimistic day for me. I throw that out because I go up and down. However, I think that for me, Devontae Parker made a big difference in my eyes of what this Patriots team is going to be. And then you kind of like, as you just do things, you probably go through it as well. As you just kind of like do things and you're like, hey, I gotta do a piece about, so I'm doing one tonight. I just was working on it before I came over here. I'm like, oh, I got to do some of the Patriots. So I go to like PFF Patriots on Twitter to see what they're posting out. And the piece I'm working on tonight is that Jacoby Myers was had the fourth highest catching percentage on contested catches last year, which kind of like blew my mind. I was like, Jacoby Myers was number four overall. The guys in front of him are like Mike Evans and Jalen Waddle and CeeDee Lamb. So I was like, okay, because I've been going under the assumption that Jacoby Myers wasn't going to have that much of a role in the Patriots this year, especially if the Patriots take like a John Mechie or something of that nature in the draft, which I do think they'll take. I know we're going to get to the draft, but I do think they're going to take a wide receiver. However, so I started looking back at it. I'm like, okay, you got Kendrick Bourne, who was the 21st ranked wide receiver on PFF last season. So, I mean, you're talking a top 25 wide receiver. Who's going to play the Julian Edelman role. I know a lot of Patriot fans think it's Jacoby Myers, but it's not. It's Kendrick Bourne. Kendrick Bourne plays that role. So you have a Kendrick Bourne who plays really well. Now you got Devontae Parker and Jacoby Myers who can both win those contested catches and can both do things with the ball in their hands. So I'm like, you got two really tough receivers who can win those kind of those, you know, 50-50 balls and win those contested catches. You've got Kendrick Bourne. The Patriots let Yakob Johnson walk this year and basically told him we're not going to be carrying a fullback, which should be indication to everybody on the planet that Jonnu Smith is going to have a bigger role on this team this year. They're going to run a lot of two tight end and three tight end sets. And then you got Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. And I think this year, mark my words on this show right now, we said it last night, but we'll do it on your podcast as well. Devin Asiasi, we believe, is going to have his breakout year next year. He's not going to be a 1,000-yard receiver or anything of that nature, but we think that he's finally going to kind of get his opportunity to show who he is. But when you break it all down, and then you got Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris, who are such a great tandem at running back. You got Ty Montgomery, who's going to finally, my boy right here, my boy Rex Burkhead. I don't think the Patriots replaced him last year. I think they wanted J.J. Taylor to be that guy. They wanted him to be that take that Rex Burkhead role. He didn't really get it done. He fumbled in Tampa against Tampa Bay in a really crucial time in week four and never saw the field again. And I'm going to say that even the first 3 weeks that he was out there, I think he was healthy scratch for 1 week, was there for two, never really was that spark plug. Ty Montgomery's not a burner anymore, but he's still a spark plug that can be that change of pace back and go out and receive. He'll play that back Rex Burkhead role. And James White is to me, anybody who doesn't pay attention to the Patriots besides trying to hate on them, don't recognize just how impactful James White is as a third down running back. So when you start piecing it together and start looking at it rationally, I'm like, holy geez, you know, this Patriots offense isn't actually that bad. It's not great. Like, it's not elite. It's not Stephon Diggs and Gabriel Davis and Jamison Crowder, but the offense is going to be a lot more of a pain in the ass for defenses. And I think a lot of analysts and fans at this moment are giving it credit for, especially if Mac Jones can take a step forward.
Exactly. You nailed it on the head. I like the Asiasi take, just because I remember – I always remember this game, the Week 17 game of 2020 against the Jets, when the Patriots looked like they were just having fun. Cam caught the touchdown. Asiasi had the touchdown. And I'm just like, where was this all year? Like, this fun football where it was a game we didn't care about. But I agree with everything. I 100% agree with the Jonnu Smith thing, because I know a lot of people were ripping on that. Like, oh, why'd they give him all the money? And I'm like, I knew all along. Hunter Henry was going to be the big tight end one. Jonnu's tight end two. Damian Harris, Ramondre Stevenson. I didn't know what to think of Ramondre. Someone drafted him in fantasy in August, and I said, Belichick doesn't like playing rookie running backs. That was a mistake. But then he had the Cleveland game and proved me wrong. With James White, it's something that just reminded me. Have you ever seen the Twitter account Tom Brady highlights come up, where it just shows random highlights
of games? Yeah, James White comes up a lot.
No, not that. But something that reminded me of James White was there was a 2003 game against the Denver Broncos when Belichick punted, took the intentional safety.
Yep.
And Kevin Falk was the hero. It's just the same thing. Kevin Falk, Shane Vereen, James White. It's that third down passing running back.
I like that you go back. I like that you go back to 2003, because there's a lot of young Patriots fans who those players for us, you know, and I think you and I think we talked about, you and I are almost the same age. Those players for us that played in those early 2000s, right? I mean, it's you know what? If I can digress a little bit, I know I do that a lot too, and I know I gave you hard out at 8:15, and here we are. You know, we were talking about this the other night, and someone said to me, oh, I was asking a Bills fan. I had a Bills fan on our podcast, and I said, when did Bills fans become so soft? I said, you guys used to be like the nobody can hurt us, like the Buffalo Bills hurt us. How did you guys become so soft? And he goes, well, I want you to imagine, you know, Tom Brady in year two. And, you know, I reminded him that the Patriots fans got their teeth kicked in a lot longer than Bills fans did up until we got it. And he goes, well, I want you to imagine. He says, Tom Brady comes in. You finally got your hero and blah, blah. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, the hero of New England that took us out from the teeth kicking came in 1993. I'm like, and when you like break down what happened in those early 90s with Drew Bledsoe, then Willie McGinnis, Teddy Bruschi, you know, and Lawyer Malloy, and the list goes on and on and on. I said, you know, it's one of the reasons to me that as much as Bill Parcells, yes, he kind of tarnished his reputation by the way he left New England and went to the Jets and you know, the way he pulled things, and him and Kraft hated each other and he was a sexist pig, whatever. You know, there's a lot of things not to respect about Bill Parcells. But when you look at what him and Drew Bledsoe's contribution to bringing the Patriots to relevancy, that was way, I would say Drew Bledsoe took the Patriots out of the abyss, him and Parcells,
and then Brady, with him.
Yeah. And I mean, and lost to Brett Favre, and that was a Super Bowl they could have won. It wasn't like the 85 Bears when they shouldn't have been there. I mean, they deserved to be in that 97 Super Bowl. But like, so Parcells and Bledsoe, they took the Patriots out of the abyss, and then Belichick and Brady brought them, you know, brought us to cloud nine, brought Patriots fans to cloud nine. So anyways, I just digress. I love though when guys like Kevin Falk come up, because he's such a forgotten piece that was so important to that first, you know, that first run.
Corey Dillon too.
Corey Dillon came in, what, 1,200 yards, right, that he rushed. And then they, you know, they move on from Lawyer Malloy and bring in Rodney Harrison. It just shakes and disrupts the whole team. And then, it, you know, Harrison's a Patriots Hall of Famer and one of the key guys in those, you know, second Super Bowls on the team. Vince Wilfork comes in. Richard Seymour comes in. Just so many of the Deion Branch, Super Bowl MVP, right? Like, just so many key figures that played in those early 90s teams. And I will argue that when we speak
like Vrabel,
when we get nostalgic, let's say 30 years from now, like for me and my age group, I will look fondly among more 90s players, which or early 2000s players, which includes Tom Brady. I want to put that on the table right now before people start. Yep. I will look more fondly on more players from the 2000s than I think I will the second run from 2014 and on. Like, there's a few players, the Devin McCourty, Jay, you know, Dante Hightowers, that'll, you know, stick out for me. But
Ninkovich.
Yeah, Nink a little bit. But yeah, I think that there's guys from the early years. There's a bigger collection of guys, because when you got to the later 2000s, there was really key figures. Where there was no key figures in the early 2000s. It was just like the team, yep. Right? So anyways, I digress.
Remember, too, coming out in Super Bowl 36, they came out as one.
And they got fined for that. NFL wasn't going to let them. They're just like, no, F that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And if Bills fans want to say, oh, you got your savior, thank Mo Lewis for Tom Brady. That's all I have to say. Yeah. You can thank Mo Lewis for nearly murdering Drew Bledsoe.
The New York Jets gave us Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. That's what I always say.
Yeah. Which, folks, if you want to read about it, Jeff Benedict's The Dynasty, it's a highly recommended book.
Fantastic book. And if you want to really get the in, I'm gonna pitch this. I know Patreon fans hate when I do this. Read Seth Wickersham's book, man. You wanna really find out what the end of the Brady era in New England was like in that locker room. What I'll say is, I know a lot of people call BS on Wickersham, but I've talked to enough people that have confirmed enough that I believe most of what he says. And it's, there's some stories in that book. I don't know if you've read it yet, but let's just put it this way. I walked away after that book not mad at anybody and said that the divorce had to happen. You know what I mean? For everybody, because there was a three-way power struggle and one of those pillars had to fall. I always say, listen, off field NFL is so much more entertaining than on field. The soap opera of off the field is phenomenal.
Look what's happened the last 2 months. Like, it's just been,
what a wild draft. What a wild off season. I mean, like, it's the most wild off season I've ever seen, with demands of trades and this and quarterbacks flying all over the place. Now, and every time you think it's done, you hear that, like, now the Packers and the Vegas are talking about trading Darren Waller. Deebo Samuel requests a trade. Like, after that, after Jacksonville sets the quarter or the wide receiver market ridiculous with Christian Kirk and then Deshaun Watson to Cleveland. It's this offseason has been, you know, it's funny because you know this as a content creator. Like, we're getting into the Super Bowl now, right? For content creators, this is the draft weekend, is our Super Bowl. I will produce more content in 3 days than I will the rest of the season. Like, this is the time of the year. I think the only time I've ever created as much content as a draft weekend was last year's Patriots free agency, just because of how ballistic it went. There was a lot of content that came out.
Yep.
But, like, we're going to be live Thursday night. I'm going to be up early Friday morning breaking down, you know, some of the key picks. We're going to be live again Friday, up early Saturday morning breaking down the picks, watching the draft all day Saturday, making content as we go. This is our Super Bowl. However, the lead up to this, because most of the time free agency is like, meh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you get a couple big moves, but there's like all these slow patterns. Even when big names weren't signing, the gap in the conversation, and then some of the outside figures like Sam Darnold coming out and saying that, you know, oh, I'm the best quarterback in the NFL, or Cam Newton coming out and saying, I want to play for a I'm picking my team because I want to play for a team that's a competitor for the Super Bowl and I have a chance to start. Like, those
Kaepernick
two,
too, wanting to come back.
Kaepernick wanting to come back. Antonio Brown not understanding why anybody will give him a chance. Terrell Owens joining the fan league, you know, and at whatever, 95 years old and getting back on the field. It's just been like the outside noise has been just as entertaining. I told my wife, and I told Dean Blundell this. We were having a conversation. I told a lot of people this. I have never been in a situation where my eyes have been locked onto Twitter so much, because you're terrified as a content creator. You're just terrified you're going to miss something.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what, like, look, this is the time of year where every fan has optimism. It's the time of year every fan has, like, a sense of hope. Like, obviously, once September and October roll around, just a lot of those teams, you realize, not our year and everything like that. But this year, this is the week everyone's truly excited. This is the weekend where football guys shine. This is the time of year where, look, you just hope that's what's best. You just hope There's hope. There's hope. And look, you're going to spin. I'm going to use a lot of gambling metaphors here. You're going to spin this. You're going to pull the hand lever at the slot machine. You're going to spin the roulette wheel, and you're hoping that red or black, or you get sevens on these prospects. That's what's going to happen. And I say that because Vegas, and which I would have loved to have gone, but by the time I looked at hotel rooms, it was like $500 a night. And I said, no, but two years from now, it's in Detroit. So
yep.
that's what I got to say. It's in Detroit. And that's 4 hours for me. That's 4 hours. So we'll see what happens there. But no, this is the time of year when content creators shine. This is the time of year a lot of guys put in a lot of work. But even still, the NFL, there's not ever an off season. Like for the NHL example, because their season's winding down, Cup gets awarded, schedule comes out, draft happens, free agency happens, then everyone from Canada Day to Labor Day kind of like, you know, goes away, goes quiet. They go off to their cottages and stuff and report on if something happens here or there. The NFL is a 12-month-a-year machine, even though there's probably like a 6-week period in the middle of the summer that goes quiet. But besides that, it's just a never-ending cycle, and that's why I love it, and that's why I love to do – that's why I started a football podcast out of every sport.
Well, we last night we were just planning out our summer schedule.
Yeah.
It's as a content creator – you know, a little bit of the insight to people out there who may be thinking about it. The last 3 years of content creation has been wild because my best year was 2020, especially very early pandemic. When people are sitting at home and had nothing to do, they were just people just absorbing content everywhere they could. And our numbers are just going through the roof. And that was when, we're on Sportscaster. And we're hitting like 30,000, you know, live viewers per episode. And we're just, you know, we're living the high life. And then, you go through these waves. 2021 was still not as high as 2020, but a little bit there. And then 2022, like, hey, man, you know, even us in Canada, like, because I was talking about this with last night, last April at this time, I know it's a little bit different in the US, but Griff and I are, you know, we're just down the road from each other, down the QEW or whatever, down the 401 from each other.
Yeah.
This time last year, we were in complete lockdown.
Yeah.
April of 2021. Like we were still in a complete lockdown. I think we were just opening up in May because this was our second shutdown. Cause in March we spiked, you know, the COVID numbers spiked. So there was still a lot of people, even Americans, even though there was a lot of things more open in the U.S., like my partner was saying to me last night, my broadcast partner was like, yeah, we were open, but there was still a lot of like uneasiness. A lot of people weren't going to the bars and whatnot, right? 2022, we don't wear masks here anymore. I do, but, you know, we don't have to. Bars are open. All that kind of stuff is happening. And it's like, you know, my friends who were watching me all through the pandemic, I'm like, hey, did you see the show last night? And like, my buddy's just like, Ray, straight up, like, I'm vaccinated and wanted to go to a bar and didn't want to sit there and watch you on YouTube. But I'm like, fair. It's fair. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fair point. So, it's been a really, really weird content year. So, this off season really helped us keep those numbers up because people were excited about everything happening. And then of course, I did something a little bit different on my channel, and we didn't cover the draft at all the last month because every content creator, every podcaster out there was doing all their draft stuff. And I was like, let's be completely different. Like we're not your typical, for anybody who's going to check us out, we're not your typical fantasy betting show. Like we do football analytics, we do fantasy, we do betting. We started last night talking about AJ Brown as in fantasy. We talked about it for 2 minutes and spent 20 minutes talking about Baker Mayfield, where he's going to end up. So like we don't restrict ourselves to just those things. Right. But yeah, it's been a fun year. And then leading to this, like I was just saying to somebody today, I don't know how you feel, but like, knowing what Thursday is going to bring, like my adrenaline is starting. I tweeted out today, hey, our draft party starts at 7:30, and Griff, I'll shoot you, a link. I don't know what you're doing, but we got people popping in and out all night. There's no set times. I want to come in and say hi and talk about the draft. So I'll drop you a link. And if you want to pop in and tell your audience who you are and where to find you and my audience meeting and come see and come in, hang out. But we're doing our big draft party. And as soon as I sent the post, like, hey, we're starting at 7:30 p.m.
I saw it tonight before we came on.
Yeah, my adrenaline suddenly started doing this. And I was like, okay, I know what's coming. You know what I mean? Like, I'm starting to get the buzz. You know what I mean? The, like, okay, draft is coming. And just for anybody who does want to join us over on the Deer Pass Nation YouTube channel live, also the Dean Blundell YouTube channel and Twitter page, as per tradition, after they sing the American National Anthem, I sing the Canadian National Anthem, because I feel like we get, you know, a lot of Canadians are watching and we get kind of stiffed on that. So I will sing the Canadian National Anthem. And I'm going to be honest, I'll probably sing the old version. I always forget to sing the new version. It's not me trying to be disrespectful. Just I grew up singing the old version and forget. But I'm going to try. I'm going to try to remember to sing the new version.
And even still, so Thursday's gonna be crazy for me, because I have, like, already loaded NFL draft, but we got game six too Thursday night.
So I know. I'm trying to figure out how to balance that. The only thing is, and I tweeted this today, Philly ain't winning in Toronto, and this has 2019 written all over it. What's your nervousness?
This goes back to Philly for game seven. We're winning. I'm calling that right now. You can bookmark it right here. If Philly does not close out Thursday night, they're not going to. I think we're going to win.
You have a lot of Toronto people who watch your stuff, right? Like, you got a big Toronto base.
Yeah, I got a lot of my following is in Canada, and the same people too who view, like, the TikToks and the. I also post on my Instagram channel for those. It's a lot of Canadian.
Well, post this on your Instagram. Jurassic Park. Get down there and go crazy. I mean, if there is no team in Toronto, not the Blue Jays, not the Maple Leafs, not the Argos or Rock. They're not real professional teams anyways, but not the – sorry, I had to take that shot. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But no, nobody feeds off the fans like the Toronto Raptors feed off the fans. I mean, that team, going back to DeRozan and Lowry, have just sucked in this city. That's why LeBron felt it when he was here. Go down there, just make Embiid feel just uncomfortable, and Scotty Barnes should be up to full minutes, and I want to see them just and I love playoff Harden, you know what I mean? And just, yeah. You know what I mean? And just,
especially after the Zanzibar.
Yeah. They're not losing in Toronto, and they're going to go close it out in Philly. They're probably going to get smoked in the next round, and I'm cool with that, cuz the Raptors, all those American pundits didn't even give the Raptors a chance of making the play. Maybe they gave them a chance of getting into the play-in tournament.
Can I tell you, so with gambling and everything, because TSN 1050 here, gameplay, Matthew Cause, yeah. It's on TSN 1050, 2-4. I remember I was listening to one day at work, and the Raptors, one point, their over-under win total was 34. And I said, I looked at it, and I was like, I should have taken it. I think it was like, it was still like plus, I think it was like even at one point in the playoffs too, for them to make the playoffs, it was like plus five. Like at one point in the series, it was plus 5,000, and that's gone down to plus 900 for them to get out of the first round. One's going from 3-0 to 3-2. But when I saw that over under win total, I was almost this close to combining that with Scotty to win Rookie of the Year, and I didn't. And look, both would have hit, but it is what it is.
Dude, I don't know if you saw this tweet I threw out today, because Chuck just came out and did his top 10 players in the league. Yeah. And I said, in 3 years, Scotty Barnes is going to be on that list. I said, guarantee. 3 years, Scotty Barnes is going to be on that list. I love that kid.
Same.
Love that kid.
But what was the other thing I was going to say? So, yeah, with Thursday, I had people starting to ask me, like, oh, let's go to Maple Leaf. Like, let's go to Jurassic Park and everything like that. And I'm just like, fuck, I want to. But I'm like, NFL draft.
Jurassic Park. It's tough, man. I know. It's tough. Yeah. And it's funny because I'm in the same boat for a lot of things. So, you got the Raptors, obviously. I'm trying to watch every Blue Jay game, even if I got to watch the Jays in 30, because his team is just so fun to watch. And then playing the Red Sox right now is just fantastic for, you know, my base. I'm not a hockey fan, so no, I don't care about the Leafs, but I know that's a big thing coming up. And then we got this, you know, thing happening in Ottawa again this weekend, and that's a big deal on the Blundell Network.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I'm just like, look, this weekend is just going to be absolute insanity. I'm looking, and this is, you know, this is the thing. Like, this is either the time for guys like you and guys like me, we're either going to thrive in this or this is where we're just going to collapse and be like, I'm done. Forget it. Take my mic. You know, I'm going to hang it up. So I'm looking forward to that. Like I said, my adrenaline is already. I've noticed today I started drinking more coffee. I've had like the 80s metal in my headphones. I'm kind of just like thinking about things as, okay, you know, how am I going to approach this? How am I going to approach that? And it's, I love it, dude. I hope everybody else is excited. Yeah. And it's funny because I'm been so wrapped up in this. It's like I wasn't even thinking till right now that game six is on Thursday night. So now I'm going to have the draft on one TV. I'm going to have the game on my phone. I'm going to have to just have a bunch.
Luckily, one starts at 7 and then the draft starts at 8. So that's the one saving grace and fortune.
Well, you know what the bad part is? If we time it up, the Patriots will probably be picking right around the end of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like it's going to be like a 2-point game. So just as like you're locked in on that, you're going to have to keep one eye on the Patriots, one on the draft, one eye on the game. It's it's one of those things that you're like, if they lose on Thursday, and actually, if they were going to lose, it'd probably be the best day because I think I'd be so wrapped up into what I'm doing live and everything that it wouldn't impact me the same way. But I said that I said to a buddy of mine last night, I was like, first of all, rap, that was domination last night in Philly. Yeah. Just absolutely dominated them. And I texted my buddy, I'm like, domination. He's like, yeah. He's like, if it goes to 7, same thing as you. If it goes to 7, Raptors, everybody's saying that. If it goes back to Philly, the Raptors are winning. Doc Rivers is famous for dropping playoff games. And then I was like, I was sitting back and I was just like, dude, you know what? I'm like, if they lose like game 6 or 7, I wish they would have got swept because this is just going to like crush me. Because it's like, I always call it that false hope. Right.
Welcome to being a Toronto sports fan.
Yeah, dude. But you know what? Right now, Dean tweeted out the other day and I agreed with him so much. He's like, hey, I'm not embarrassed to be a Toronto sports fan right now. And I'm like, it's so true. So true. The Jays are so fun to watch. Your Leafs are doing well. You know what I mean? They're going to play Tampa in the playoffs is going to be tough because your goaltending can't, you know, sucks. But
yeah,
it's going to be fun, man.
We'll wait and see what happens. It's an exciting time to be in the six right now. That's all I can say. Going back to the NFL, and we're talking about the craziness of this year, I want to ask you something. If you had to pick, and I've been asking everyone who's been coming on here the last few weeks or so this question, if you have to pick one team from the AFC West who's going to be the disappointment, because look, for everybody out there going like, oh, we should have a red zone and like every game is going to be great with the AFC West, sure. There's going to be one team out there that's going to be a disappointment and miss the playoffs and probably have a losing record. In your opinion, who's that going to be, Ray?
I don't know if they're going to have a losing record. I predicted that all four of those like West teams
are going to 490.
I've actually predicted all four teams are going to the playoffs. It's going to be the first time ever that all four go to the playoffs. I did predict that about the North last year too. So let's relax a little bit with that prediction. Yeah. But by far, the easiest pick in that is for me is the Chiefs. I see Denver, Vegas, and the Chargers way ahead. They're all better. They're all three of them are better defensively. All of them have better offenses. The only thing that keeps the Chiefs, gives them any hope, is Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. And I'll throw Travis Kelce in there as well, but he can't do it all on his own. I look at Juju Smith-Schuster and Scantling, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, that's just like, you know what I mean? Like, they're probably going to take a receiver in the draft, obviously, right? Yeah. But they got to hope that that receiver performs the way they want him to perform. But you know, it's not even tough. And I bet you got a lot of hums and ha's and to me, it's not even tough. I've been pounding this for 2 weeks and this isn't my hatred for Chiefs fans. It's the Kansas City Chiefs that they are, in my opinion, the weakest team in the AFC West right now.
My big thing too is as well for all the people out there that are saying that Mahomes one day is going to be Brady and that he's going to win 6 or 7 Super Bowls. Getting paid all this money is really going to show, hey, are you worth it? But hey, should we have not, like, is the whole gold standard thing really a bad thing more than a good thing? Because look, there's certain, I can go back to other sports too. Like with baseball, you look at a guy like Mike Trout, who's one of the greatest players in the game, but his team can't ever do anything. Football is obviously a sport where one guy can impact it, but then at the same time, too, it can impact it in a good way or a bad way. So I'm with you on the sense of that. But at the same time, too, we could be coming back here in November and going, Patrick Mahomes said, I'm actually as good as people think I am.
Well, Patrick Mahomes is as good as people think he is. That's the thing. I mean, nobody fool yourself.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's bad or anything, but you know what I mean.
Patrick Mahomes is, like, again, I have Josh Allen as the best. I will accept an argument of Patrick Mahomes if you wanted to go down that road. You know what I mean? Like, that's one and one A as far as I'm concerned. They're dynamic. They do things that nobody else can do. They throw those cross body passes. I mean, forget the no looks and stuff. I mean, that's a lot of that is luck. But these two guys can throw from across the field and hit their guys perfectly. You're taught as a quarterback not to do that. So, I mean, if we're back here in November and the Chiefs are first in the AFC West, I will tell you right now it'll 100% be because of Patrick Mahomes. That's what I said. There's and Andy Reid. Those are the two. Dude, it's the same way with the Patriots, right? If you go back to 2018, and I remember this tweet specifically, somebody trying to have an argument with a Patriots fan trying to have an argument with another player. And they're like, oh, the Patriots, you know, offense is poverty or something like that. And this dude starts listing Cordero Patterson, Chris Hogan, Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski. Like, how are you going to beat that? And I was like, dude, did you just use Cordero Patterson and Chris Hogan to try to say how good – with an old beat up Gronk who's been awful, you know, who's got like 500 yards in receiving this year. Did you just list those four guys as the, you know, the catalyst for the Patriots? So you know what I mean? But you had Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Right. And when you look in Kansas City, you got Andy Reid and you got Patrick Mahomes. So if they're still there, I think they're the weakest team, but if they're first in the West, it wouldn't surprise me if that makes sense to you. You know what I mean? Just because of those two guys, and they can single-handedly change things themselves.
Exactly. My pick still is Vegas just because we don't know what Derek Carr we're going to get because he's so Jekyll and Hyde. That's my thing. So I think he's got a lot to prove, especially due to the fact he just got his new contract extension. But for all we know, it's a crapshoot, and who knows what can happen. Everyone's given different answers, but the one team no one has really said is the Chargers, surprisingly. I've gotten a lot of Broncos, surprisingly, with that question.
That doesn't surprise me at all. I think the Chargers are going to sit right in the middle. I don't think they're the worst. I don't think they're the best. I think
they'll be second or third.
Yeah, their defense is too good. Their offense is too good.
Their run defense is shit.
What's that?
Their run defense is horrible.
Their run defense is horrible, but their pass defense is good. They just got J.C. Jackson, which I think some Charger fans are going to be surprised how often he gets burnt by fast receivers, and that's going to be a tough division to be in. But there's, you know what, the Raiders doesn't, you know, I don't hate that pick from you, even though I think they're actually going to win the division, but I understand why you say it. Forget Derek Carr. A discussion that we've been having a lot of is, what is Devontae Adams going to look like? Is Devontae Adams Devontae Adams because of him, or was he Devontae Adams because of Aaron Rodgers? Right, like that was conversation. So we got to see if Adams really is the, like, when DeAndre Hopkins left Houston and went to Arizona, he still looked like DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
Will Devontae Adams look like Devontae? Will Tyreek Hill, an older Tyreek Hill, look like Tyreek Hill with Tua Tagovailoa? Because I would even say Alex Smith was a little bit more consistent when he was there than Tagovailoa is right now in his career.
Exactly. And I have a what if with the Raiders as well, and it's a bit of a darker one, but I do this with the Patriots too. I do this with the Patriots. Like, how good would the Boston Tea Party have been had Aaron Hernandez not done what he had did? My thing is, how would this Raiders offense look when you had Adams, and if Ruggs didn't have his unfortunate his tragedy that he had back in November, if he was still playing football and needed to do something incredibly stupid that took someone's life? So
I don't know if you get Devontae Adams if you have Ruggs, though, because his contract is coming up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, good point. I'm just trying to piece the two together, kind of like how I do Aaron Hernandez being probably a top five tight end, not of all time in the NFL, but in the NFL for the last few years, if he hadn't let his dark side.
Oh, I totally agree with you on that one. And I think, yeah, you know, it would have just, the dynamic of the Patriots would have been very different, right? Yeah. And Hernandez could easily slide into that tight end one spot if Gronk gets hurt. You know, like, there's a lot of different things, but, you know,
stuff happened.
But then maybe you don't have Martellus Bennett when you win Super Bowl 51, and Bennett had a big part of that season and plays a different style of football than Aaron Hernandez. Maybe you don't pay Stephon Gilmore, so you don't win 2018. Maybe you don't pay Hightower when he's a free agent because you got $40 million tied up in Aaron. Don't forget, right? That was like $40 million tied up in Aaron Hernandez. And then 5 years later, he would have been up for another contract extension. He would have been in the peak of his career. Now you're looking at, you know, probably another $40 to $50 million. And if that's the case, who are you saying goodbye to? And that could be a Hightower who had a big part of two Super Bowls, right? Like, you know what I mean? Maybe you don't get Darrell Revis. Maybe you don't get Brandon Browner. So I totally get it. It's like this could happen, but then there's that like domino effect of, okay, where does this fall? Where does this fall? Where does this fall? Where does this fall? And I think back to that 2011 team with like Chad Ochocinco and all that kind of thing. And it's like, I almost feel like that season had to happen for the Patriots to make some fundamental changes to the type of players they bring into their system. And I know Hernandez and Gronk were around for that, but it's like sometimes like things need to happen for changes to happen. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get that. It's just like the Aaron Hernandez what if is something that's going to live with me for a long, like for a long time, just thinking of how good of a player he could have been just because he showed his true potential and he'd gone in a nice contract after his third season.
Absolutely. But like, I always like the what ifs. You know, my what if always is to people, what if Gronk was a Brown? Like, what if Cleveland drafted Gronk? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's my favorite what if in the world. Like, because 32 teams could have drafted Gronk before the Patriots did. I'm like, Rob Gronkowski, and this is more because Gronk, I believe, has just been an idiot since he left New England about the Patriots. And, you know, you can be upset and bitter about Bill Belichick, but I always kind of turn around and I'm like, dude, if you were drafted by Cleveland and you had your injury history, you wouldn't be Gronk, number one. You'd be Rob Gronkowski from Arizona. You wouldn't have the party bus. A lot of what you had was because of your antics on the duck boats when you won Super Bowls. And one of those Super Bowls, you weren't even on the field because you were injured, but you made an ass out of yourself at the parade.
And you dented the world, and you dented the Lombardi at Fenway Park on opening day. I think that was the same Super Bowl. I think that was 2017.
That was 2018 season. 2018 season. Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. It's so I always say, like, you know, I love playing the what if game. You know what I mean? Like, what
it
if
sucks, this team, but you love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like my big what if is for this past year, even though we got our butts kicked, what if the Buffalo Bills didn't play We Are the Champions after beating us in the wild card round and printing shirts of the stat line, which still brings me to believe the whole we forever live rent free in the head of Bills Mafia. Oh, except at Bills Mafia.
Dude, 1,000%. 1,000%. It's the equivalent. Like, I tweeted something the other day. Somebody was talking smack about the Patriots, a Bills fan, and Patriot fans were getting all upset with them. And I just quote tweeted and I was like, hey, listen, when you're the wild card champions, you can talk all the smack you want, you know? And my boy, who's a Bills fan from hashtag sports, was just like, dude, come on. And I'm like, you know what I mean? Oh, no. Listen, Bills Mafia.
We love you, but we hate you.
The Patriots live rent-free. I don't even hate you, Bills Mafia. I don't even hate you because you're the better team now, and yet for some reason you can't keep the Patriots' name out of your mouth.
That's what years of asking. I had a good guy in here who's a Bills fan, Joe Miller III from Buffalo Rumblings last week, and we were talking about a bunch of stuff, and it seems like I actually asked him one question I asked him, and he gave me a really interesting answer because I said, how much pressure is there under Josh Allen to win this year? And he said, basically, look, Josh Allen has nothing, like next to nothing to prove. And basically, he thinks that Mahomes and Herbert have – not Herbert, Burrow. Before we get Chad here, I want to ask you quickly, ideal draft, what positions and why?
All right. So I can't give you names, but I'll give you positions. And this is
perfectly okay.
Yeah. This is my order of priority for the Patriots. Cornerback is number one. I have a piece up right now on rayroute.com. There's a blog there, or I did a video about it as well over on our YouTube page. If the Patriots do not address the cornerback position in the draft this year and hit it and get a true number one corner, I call into question what the next 2 to 3 seasons are going to look like for New England, because right now their secondary is a disaster. Number two on that list is interior offensive lineman. The Patriots need to protect Mac Jones. They lost Shaq Mason. They lost Ted Karras. Mike Onwenu is going to shift in, which means you're losing that sixth tackle, that, you know, that second tackle that they could bring in those shift formations. Interior offensive lineman is number two.
When's going on next year too?
Yep. Number three is a linebacker. The Patriots need, I think they've done a good job bringing in the hybrid players. Mac Wilson, obviously athletic linebacker, not like, you know, a star, but he's going to fit well. They brought back Juwan Bentley. They brought in Jabril Peppers, who's going to play like a linebacker. But I think they need another athletic linebacker, bringing back, you know, obviously they got Cameron McGrone, who's going to play this year.
Ryan,
I think
Perkins, they need to get more playing time.
Yeah, yeah. Tony, Ronnie Perkins coming off of the edge. And then, of course, like Josh Uche. But I think number three is get another athletic linebacker. And then number four on my list is wide receiver. And I know that there's Patriot fans who can't see beyond a wide receiver, but he's number four on my list. That being said, if your guy is, let's say, John Mechie, like, let's say that's your priority, he's probably not going to fall to the second round, even though I'm saying it's the fourth priority. I'm not saying that they won't pick the guys out in different rounds because there's a lot of depth. But without a shadow of a doubt, no ifs, ands, or buts, the New England Patriots have to take a cornerback in the first round because there's way too many flyers in the second round. There's way too many we don't know guys. They need an Andrew Booth Jr. who can play man and zone. They need somebody who can play. It needs to be a corner in the first round. They're playing with fire, quote unquote, if they don't.
I 100% agree with the cornerback thing. Like, they don't have to go out there and get Sauce Gardner. We know Sauce is probably going to go top five. Andrew Booth would be a great pick. Kyler Elam. There's many other guys out there that they can go and get that are going to come in and make a day one impact. As for receiver, I'm a Slade Bolden guy. Why? Because I'm a Patriots fan.
Just so you know, my co-host believes that they're going to get Slade Bolden as a UDFA. He doesn't even think he's going to get drafted.
That's going to be Britton Covey out of and it's going to be Alec Pierce out of Cincinnati that they're going to take. They're going to take Alec Pierce and John Mechie day two, and Kyle Phillips somehow as well is going to be a Patriot. I don't like the rules, but slot, skinny white receivers.
Look at you.
They're
pass. Look
at you. But Patriots Nation, if you're from the six, thank you for listening. This has been episode number 166 here on the YWC Football Talk podcast. For Ray Route, I'm Griff. Have a good night. Enjoy the draft. And for the love of God, Bill Belichick, draft a cornerback.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamnscore.com.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.